You're listening to Robert Kelly's
You Know What, Dude?
On the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
Make sure you check out robertkellylive.com to find out when Robert is performing near you. This month is going to be in Reno, Nevada at Catch a Rising Star at Silver Legacy from the 27th through the 31st. Go to Robert Kelly Live for ticket information and other dates to see when Robert is coming to a town near you.
Welcome to another episode of You Know What, Dude, with me, Robert Kelly. We are in Austin, Texas. We are at the Marriott Hotel, South, and we got Dan, a.k.a. Monster Voice Soda, a.k.a. excited to be at a festival.
Yeah.
Soda. Oh,
yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh, yeah.
On the show today, we got Gary Gulman coming in just a few minutos. Oh, shit. Yeah, he'll be here very shortly. So we're here, man. You're excited. You're fucking flipping out.
Dude, this is fun. This is they should call this festival the Beard and Flannel Festival because
dude, there's so many skinny jeans here.
I walked off the planet and I was like, Are all of you in the Strokes? Are all of you in the band The Strokes?
Dude, everybody has a beard, a hat, and skinny jeans and some type of flannel.
And like a shitty look on their face.
Yeah, like everybody's sad because they're hungry.
Yeah.
Hungry for fame.
Hungry. I don't want to be famous.
But here's the deal.
I just want to drink some beer, smoke some pot, and get some pussy. That's all I'm here. That's why I came to Texas.
Is that all you?
Big old Texas pussy.
See, you're at the stage of your career now where you're coming here and it's just a blast.
Yeah, it's fucking summer camp.
Well, you know how much is your rent is like not. You don't have a you don't have a fucking mortgage. You don't have all this other shit. You just have fucking what, $500 a month? Is that what your rent is?
No, $675.
$675. I can make that at the Cellar on a weekend.
Yeah.
I can stay in New York.
It's crazy.
Man, yeah. That's a fucking great
you know
time, brother.
What I spend my
brother.
Money on?
What?
Nothing.
No, I mean, it's...
Save it.
It's... Ugh.
Squirrel.
Do you
no,
really?
No, I don't. Fuck no.
Well, it's a great time. I love... I mean, look, I'm having a blast too, dude. I'm having a fucking blast.
Yeah, I just... You know, I came right from the airport to the mobile, you know what, dude, headquarters.
Which is
in a hotel off a highway.
Dude, we set up a fucking slamming studio,
this
baby.
It's fucking awesome. And it really is.
Yeah.
You really do look like a drug kingpin right now, way you're sitting in front of the window.
I'm fucking
with
RK.
With the curtains aft.
RK 2000.
Oh, man. Gary's going to walk in. Are you here to see Bobby? Walk in and sit down.
Fucking CeeLo, bitch.
But I'll tell you this, man.
What?
The fucking.
Tell me this, man.
Good setup. It's a great setup.
Well, that's a great setup, kid.
It's a great
Well, we're at the festival. This festival is a music festival.
Mm-hmm.
I was supposed to come last year, but I didn't, and I'm glad I didn't. I'm coming this year with the Syndicate and Laugh Button Live with those guys on their show, which is, you know, those guys are my friends. Those are the guys who actually promoted the live show that you didn't get a chance to do at Gotham. We're doing another one. We're going to do another one. Don't you worry, Danny boy. Come here. It's okay. Come on. Shh. It's okay. Who's a good boy? Who's a good boy? Who's a good boy?
Coffee.
You're okay.
Dude, I'm excited just to go explore.
Explore what? What are you?
Well, you have a hotel, which is nice, which is very lovely, I might add.
I do have a hotel.
Very lovely.
6 miles out from the venue.
I'm staying. They put me up. Apparently it's pretty cool. My buddy Nick Turner said it's cool, but we're staying in an unused apartment.
Unused apartment.
Yeah.
Well, it would be unused because you're there.
Well, yeah, but it's
like... then when you go there, that's not true.
No one lives there.
Yeah, but when you're there, it's just...
I'm staying there. I'm not
you're staying there. At an apartment. People rent apartment. Out their apartments for the festival.
Do they?
Yeah. Huh. I just made that up, but I would imagine.
Possibly.
A lot of people do that, like a summer home.
I heard actually that it is true that they trade it for like passes and shit.
Well, they trade it and they fuck, you know, I mean, if you have an apartment and a conference like this comes to a festival like this comes into town, you could probably make a lot of money to big companies.
Or if like a lot of the local people here want to go to a bunch of the shows because there's a bunch of cool ass shows.
Yeah, it's pretty expensive too.
Yeah, it's fucking crazy expensive.
I had a fan actually email me like, dude, I got no money. It's $175 for a pass. Can you I was like, dude, I can't even get in.
Yeah.
Like, I had to go get my
Get your pass?
I got my pass today.
I got to go get my pass.
It's going to be fucking a little hectic tonight, but yeah.
Fuck.
It won't be that bad. You're fine. Yeah. You're fine. They'll take care of you. Especially the show you're doing. They got you. The Syndicate boys, Ellis and Matt, they'll fucking make sure you get in. I didn't have a pass last night. I went to all the shows. We saw a fucking great band last night. I want to save favor when Gallman comes on.
Yeah, that's what I'm really excited. Our show tonight's late.
Yeah, it's at 11 o'clock.
But I'm here 11:30.
11:30.
Ooh. But I'm here for four nights.
Yeah, I'm leaving at the crack of fuck.
Yeah.
I'm leaving at 4 a.m.
Because you're going to...
Huh?
Oh, yeah, you got
to... I got to go to Magoobies.
Magoobies.
Yeah, so...
And Beemore, Baltimore.
Baltimore, the wild son. Yeah.
We walk through the garden.
What is it?
I was trying to do my Tom Waits.
Oh, you're doing the...
You'll save your soul. It's awful. It's so awful. You gotta keep the devil.
You won't stop, though.
No, I know, because I love
you can't
song.
Stop it.
Down in his hole.
You find...
You got the
beat. All right. Shut up. But, yeah, I love... Montreal's my favorite fucking festival.
That was actually the greatest week of my life.
That was fun, dude.
That was the greatest week of
Montreal,
my life.
Montreal. Well, here's the thing, too. I was up there with you.
Yeah.
And I got to see shit happen for you.
Yeah.
You were
hosting the show.
I was hosting the New Faces Without Management.
It's called New Faces Unrepped.
Unrepped. Yeah. And now that's no longer true.
No.
You're repped.
Yeah, I'm repped.
Yeah, so it was really cool to see you. You destroyed that night, too.
Dude, you had my favorite. You had one of the nicest... You said one of the nicest things anyone's ever said to me in comedy.
What?
But it wasn't necessarily like...
Your face will get better?
That was close. We were outside. We were both still smoking.
Yeah.
And we went outside to smoke a cigarette, and you go, dude... I went up 5th out of 10th, and we go outside to smoke a cigarette, and you go, dude, you just fucking... ruined 5 people's nights.
Yeah, because people had to go up after you. Yeah.
And you're like, that the fucking...
Well, dude, you went up. I mean, everybody... Look, I love they did that. The fact that they... I think it was Singer who did it.
Yeah.
Jeff Singer. Yeah. They put up this New Faces Who Unwrapped, which I love. Because it was like, these are the kids that need representation. But what bugged me was that... Hey, Gary Gellman just stopped into the You Know What, Dude podcast. We got a seat for you, Bubba, and a microphone. We ain't fucking around. This ain't the old days, Gull. This ain't the old days.
Awesome.
Gary Gellman is here. We were just talking about Montreal this last year. Dan was up there for the first time, and he did New Faces Unwrapped. And I thought, big. I was like, man, I like that they did that because they have new faces. But most of those guys have, you know, it's already done by the time you get up there.
Yeah, they got in because they had partly.
Yeah, these are the guys who need a festival. These are the ones who need. I love the fact they wanted me to do it, but they kept stressing the fact it's about them. It's like, I know how to fucking.
Yeah.
What do you think, I'm an asshole? And then I still got shit because I wasn't saying the names correctly.
No, fuck them.
Or I wasn't saying it so...
Oh, wait, you hosted it?
I hosted it.
You hosted one of our shows.
Yeah, I was really excited to do it.
He said, before I went up, I was like walking around talking to him, and Bobby gets me alone. He goes, I really fucking hope you eat it because you're walking around all comfortable. And he goes, I hope you can't even face him in the green room after you bomb.
Well, you look around and all these people were really fucking nervous. And, you know, like you should be. This dummy walks up like he already booked a $500 million fucking deal. Hey, what's up, man? What's going on?
He was fake it till you make it.
No. Yeah. No, he's not. No. He was legitimately just excited to be alive.
Confident.
Yeah, he's coming from Denver meth head house. And not that you have a meth head house, but he was coming from some shit. Was your mother a meth head?
No.
No, okay, good. I thought you might have told me that.
Well, what it was weird is I think because this was the second night of shows we did. And the first night, it was kind of like, I think the confidence was, there was a lot of funny dudes on it, but you noticed that the New York guys were separated from everyone else. Because like the younger New York guys.
Yeah, I'm going to say this before you even get into it. Everybody did good, though. I got to say that.
Yeah.
Everybody had a pretty solid set or had some funny shit. Nobody ate their cock, which I was happy about.
Yeah,
I don't want to see that shit.
No.
But Dan went up like 5th or something like that. And this cocksucker just leveled the room.
Wow.
And had the set of the night. And I walked up. I go, how do you feel? You just ruined five people's nights. Because there was five people after him.
Great feeling.
That was great. And
not so much ruining people's nights.
Here's the best thing. I wish I took a picture of this, too, because I would have gave it to him years later. Is I come outside after, and every agent and manager was surrounding this idiot.
Oh, wow.
That's a great photo.
That's a great feeling.
Yeah.
It was for going 6 years without any representation at all, or nobody.
How many years?
Six.
So from the time you started,
yeah,
till 6 years in, you had no representation
at all.
Yeah, that sounds about right. That's how long it took me.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
But
yeah.
now,
ooh, I mean, poor kid.
Yeah,
don't make us feel bad for you for having.
Well, no, yeah, he really
same amount of time we didn't,
but longer. I think we went longer.
This started in '94.
Yeah.
And I got a representation in like 99 or something like that. All right, so 5 or 6 years.
Yeah. So I really fell victim to that face. Though.
I was really trying to dramatize it.
Shut up.
I'm glad you came in, because this cocksucker came in. He's so I'm kind of happy I'm here too, but he's so happy to be at a festival. Everything is roses today. Woo, yeah, we're doing a festival. And I go, I can't wait for fucking 12 years in face at a festival. Like, what's up, dude? Where you at? You want to get some food?
Well, I will say this, that the first time I went, there was so much on the line because I did new faces.
Yeah.
I couldn't think about anything else except the show and what I was going to do for a set and what was on the line.
Yeah.
But then the next times I went, there wasn't anything on the line, and I really had a nice time. And I drank, I smoked weed, I had a wonderful time. The first time I was all business. I should have brought a briefcase on stage with me.
Really?
I was so all
just
business.
Open it and then take out your set list and go.
Well, the first festival I went to was Aspen. Okay, now I never got any festival. I would audition, never get it. Finally told Matt, I'm done. Don't ask me. I don't want to fucking do them, dude. I don't hate them. I don't give a shit about them. I'm done. And then that year, I got all of them.
Yeah.
Like all of them. Like they all came. But I wasn't in the frame of mind to do them. I went to Aspen. The air was thin. It was snowing. I didn't know anybody. I was fucking, I was just like out of my element. I was out of my element, Danny.
Shut up, Donnie.
You're like a child.
You're out of your element.
You're like a child that wanders into a movie.
So I was up. I almost passed out the first night on stage. They had to give me oxygen. I snapped. My ACL was still fucked up. So like I jumped on stage one night and it snapped. My leg snapped again.
Oh,
and I was lying on the ground screaming. They thought, the audience thought it was part of my act. They were just laughing harder. It was like just a nightmare,
that
a fucking nightmare. And then I was like, what the fuck am I doing? What the fuck? This is bullshit.
Yeah.
Why am I not having a good time? And then the next festival was Montreal.
Yeah.
And I did the Nasty Show. I was with Louis C.K., Nick DiPaolo, and Dave Attell. And that you go up the week before back then. And I had
Dave
a blast.
Vitale.
Dave Attell.
Oh, Dave Attell.
Dave Attell.
Didn't you think he said Dan Vitale?
No, I thought he said Dave Attell.
Well, I thought you said Dan Vitale.
No,
what
Dave Attell.
Show.
That's
what a
show.
Hell of a lineup.
You know, outside of you.
Well, here's
with the exception of yourself.
That was a very nice Woody Allen slam.
it's fucking great. Here's the deal. I fucking, because I was so paranoid, though, being on
By
a
the
show.
Way, if you turn it around and insult me, I'll cry. So I'm just
not,
know that I can dish it out.
But you
I
can't
take
it.
It.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
No, I got you, Gary. I'm All good. Right. I thought it was a good one. Just as long as they're good.
Yeah.
This podcast, same as my Twitter. As long as it's good and there's an XO or a smiley face at the end,
little wink.
I won't block you.
Yeah, it's all said with a wink.
Huh?
Hey, love you, Bobby.
Huh?
I did that to my wife the other day. She almost punched me.
Yeah.
Remember when we were doing that on the podcast? I was going...
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to start doing that after everything you say. Funny. Hey, you like that? Just to annoy people?
I don't like it when you bring something to the civilians and they reject it. Don't they know that this has been vetted by the funniest people on the planet? And I'm going to bring it into your life and you're going to think it's not fun? How dare you?
You slap me in the face after I give you a gift?
How dare you?
So listen, I'm on the show. I'm so paranoid that I'm like, they don't like me. Nick doesn't like me. You know, Nick can be a little brutal to you sometimes.
Yeah.
So Nick says something to me as I'm walking off stage, and he's hosting the show. I'm walking off, and he said something like, dun, 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 you know, whose joke is that, or something like that.
Oh, God.
And I went, I was so mad. because I had such a good set. Yeah. I was so happy to be there. And I went to Louis. I was like, that fucking guy. Why did he always get to fucking do that? Why does he get to fuck with people? And I was like, he was like, what did he say? I go, he said something about me stealing a joke or being a hat or doing somebody's something like that. And then Louis comes up to me a couple hours later. He goes, dude, he said, when did you get so funny?
Oh my God.
And he was complimenting me. He was saying, oh my God, when did you get funny? Like, wow. It was a compliment, but just Nick saying it sounds like an insult. When did you get funny, you cocksucker? I felt like shit. I was like, oh God, I take myself too serious.
Yeah, he can't give you a compliment without working the word prick into it.
Yeah, he's
a
fucking funny prick. Yeah, fucking cocksucker. Your mother's a hot cunt. I'm just kidding. But yeah, I've had a blast at every festival ever since. Yeah. Fuck it. Yeah. Because I know how to do them now. It's not a big deal. I'm not there to get anything. I'm there to do what I do, is tell fucking jokes and have a good time with friends.
Right.
And I'm not like, you know what happened too? I like comics now. I like most comedians. I'm not at war like with, you know, that fucking guy doesn't like me or fuck this people or that. I don't do that shit anymore.
Yeah, we don't need that competitiveness.
Fuck, there's no, like Louis said, you're not in competition with anybody except yourself.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Go write a show.
Right.
And you can have a show.
Yeah.
If you look at somebody with a TV show, well, go write one, stupid, and make it good enough that someone wants to make it. That's
They're all my sworn enemies.
Who?
I'm just kidding. I'm still sticking with that.
Well, I have a lot of fun. I'm so glad that we're here at this festival. One of the reasons why I did it was Syndicate and Laugh Button Live, and the other one was because of this bubble right here.
Yeah, we always have fun at these things. We'll do things for a reasonable price.
We do things
in order to hang out together.
You know what? It's like you're selling. Not only do you get Robert Kelly, you get Gary Goldman at a discounted price.
Well, we did Atlanta last year, right?
Yep, and we did something in Connecticut.
We did something in Connecticut, yeah. But Atlanta Festival we did, and he called me up. He's like, dude, I got this gig. You want to do? I was like, yeah, I'll do it to fucking hang out with the girl.
At that point, we had not spent a lot of time that year together.
Yeah.
I'd been on the road for like 14 consecutive weeks, so I missed this guy.
Yeah.
Because this guy is like a human antidepressant. I always feel better when I'm around him. And not because I'm comparing myself to him. He's just an up guy. He's a positive guy or anything like that.
I'm not an asshole.
Yeah.
We had such a good time.
I'm just looking at the love that's going between your guys' eyes.
Me and him used to fucking wait tables, go to the cigar store after, buy a fucking
books.
Buy a punch.
Yeah, Punch Rothschilds. Remember we split a box of Punch Rothschilds like gentlemen?
Yeah,
and then we'd
read comic books.
Really good cigars. They remind me of a Cuban H. Upman.
Yeah.
But in America, it's
they're
the
little
closest thing
taste.
You can get to a Cuban in this country.
Gary Goldman is going to be on the next cover of Cigar Aficionado.
It's sort of a chocolatey undertones to it and a subtle nutty.
Yeah, a hint of cinnamon.
Aroma.
I feel like we can even do a one-off segment called Cigar Talk with Bobby and Gary.
No, I don't think
Stop
so.
Stop trying to spin me off.
Yeah. I'm trying to. I'm trying to get you.
Well, this is the thing, too, is that Dan comes in. He's here staying at some dude's apartment.
I've known Dan since pretty much you got to New York, right?
Yeah, no, like 2 months into New York.
Yeah, because my ex lunatic,
which one?
Fiance.
Okay.
Fiance.
Okay.
This one was world class, but sugar cunt.
That was probably Danny Rose slant.
That one was deconstructing
Harry.
I got this world class, but sugar cunt trying to shoot me. I prepared for my life with this woman, And Dan was, do you mind me saying this?
You can go
Dan
ahead.
Was her assistant.
She manipulated me like a, you know what?
Let me tell you something. It was about what a hustler you were. You wanted to get more stage time.
She had
plenty of stage time.
Yeah.
And you would keep track of notes for her.
Hang on. Gary, don't defend him. And you're not getting to talk next. You don't get to talk next. The fact that I never knew you were another comic's assistant.
She's not a comic.
Shut your face.
Thank you.
Shut your face.
Comic.
Yeah, well, that makes it worse. That doesn't make it better.
Well, that's just maybe that's how I learned how to be corporate, Dan. Why don't you just
bring your show booker?
Yeah. Yeah,
you're a show booker.
And let me tell you another thing.
you're a Gungadin. You're a little Gungadin.
No, he's a Girl Friday. Now listen.
Oh, I'm gonna take a beating in another state.
He's a Bosley.
He's Bosley.
Yeah, he's Bosley
from Charlie's Angels.
Exactly.
Yeah, kind of.
From Charlie's Angels. No, from Happy Days. He's a Tom Bosley. Now listen. Dan Soder.
Hit the cough button.
What was your role?
So what happened is I did an open mic. Yeah, I got manipulated.
I want you to be my assistant.
It was my second night. It was my second night in the city.
Yeah, you want to talk about being manipulated by that woman? You didn't buy her a house, you cocksucker.
Yeah, a farmhouse, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah, you moved to Woodstock, didn't you?
Yeah. Jesus, man. Yeah, you. Oh my god.
So yeah, I didn't get the rawest deal. I'll just take a beating on a podcast. That. Yeah. Ooh. Yeah.
I think I bought her a coffee one time.
So I did an open mic. My second night in the
just
city.
Just say you did comedy. We get that was. We know you weren't on a pro show, Dan. You were.
That was actually auditioning.
I saw some of your first shows in New York. Ask me how he was, Bob.
How was he, Dan?
Not good.
One more time. Hey, did you see Dan Soder when he first started in New York?
Oofa. Yeah. I mean, listen, he had potential, which is...
He had a voice. Know,
he had a voice and a face.
He had
face.
A voice. He had a voice and a flat potential. Face.
Yeah. Very
flat. He had a centaur face.
I like the 1600 lady listen, face. Yeah.
So listen, man. What's that?
I think he's handsome.
He's a handsome man, yeah. In the fucking Greek-Roman days.
Those were a very majestic time, and I appreciate that.
You have a gladiator
let's
face.
Let's get back on track, because I want to hear... I'm sorry.
I want to... No, it's fucking beautiful. I want to know why you never told me you were somebody's
because
assistant.
Because it is.
How long did it happen?
For 2 months.
Just answer 5 questions.
2 months.
How long did it happen?
2 months.
What did you have to do for her?
I had to call. All I had to do was I had to call these bringers. I didn't know what a bringer show was. She's like, call these comedians. They need 5 to 10 friends to get on stage.
Mm-hmm.
I would call these people.
Yeah.
During the day, and I'd be like, hey, do you want to do her show? Yeah. Do you have 5 friends? Yeah. Okay, well, I'm going to put you down for this date. And then I would get... Right. She promised me to give me as much stage time as I wanted. So she promised to give me stage time.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's all you did. You didn't do anything else.
Let me ask you this. True or false?
True.
You referred to her as boss.
No. False.
True.
False.
True. You called her boss.
You called her
I was
boss.
There for it.
You motherfucker.
Dan, I'll never forget that because it was so sad.
I don't think I ever called her
anytime
boss.
I witness something so sad, I never forget it.
Oh, you know you call him
you
boss
know how
now?
You see those Oxfam America ads when you were a kid? I never forgot those, and I never forgot this fucking poor kid calling her boss.
You called a girl comic boss?
She wasn't
boss?
Even a comedian, but I'll tell you what she was. Boyfriend to the talented.
Wow.
She had 2 other very talented boyfriends in her life.
Mm.
She did.
Hey.
She was really good at that.
Hey, employee. You called her
just call
boss.
Me by my employee number. I don't remember calling her boss.
Well,
I
you know who does? You're blocking you know who does? My fucking, one of my best friends
and
who never
what?
Lies.
And those were some foggy times because I was doing a lot of boozing. Joe List and I were doing
right.
a lot
you
of drinking.
You were a drunk.
Yeah.
Now, Joe let List me ask you this. This I don't know the answer to, so you're on your honor.
Yeah.
Did she ever teach you comedy? Did you ever?
No, fuck no.
But she did teach comedy.
She taught comedy. And
did you take the class?
No, fuck no.
Did you ever ask her advice?
Hand to God, no.
Did you ever ask her advice?
No, absolutely not. Because I don't take advice from anybody who I've never seen perform comedy.
You never saw her perform comedy?
No.
How did you become her assistant?
No, she ran an open mic. And then she was like, and she said, she didn't phrase it with, do you want to be my assistant? She phrased it with, do you want to help me book a show? And I go, well, what does that mean? And she goes, you can call these people. Then I'll put you up every
Monday. How much did you get paid?
I'll put you up every Monday. You get to drink for free. And I was a drunkard, as Gary brought up.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, you get to perform. And Stand Up New York was at its almost at its peak. It was an unbelievable club. I was watching Patrice O'Neal. I got in, you know, I met Wayne and a bunch of people at the club. Mm-hmm. They started giving me check spots.
Right.
So it was an in.
Okay. Stop fucking
defending myself.
Stop putting glitter on it.
I was manipulated like an African coming off a boat. And they're like, do you want to be a dishwasher? And I'm like, I just want to have a job. Yeah. And they're like, well, we're going to have you sit in the fucking, you're used to the heat. So why don't you just go back in the kitchen and watch pans? I go, I don't know what I'm doing, but I want a paycheck. And that's how I did. And then finally I was like, fuck this shit.
Tell the people at home what a check spot is. Do they know what a check spot is?
It is brutal. Basically, what you do is in New York, the showcase clubs, you know, they have 8 comedians on a show, and all the bills have to be paid. So what they do is, after one of the comedians, the waitresses drop checks on every one of the tables.
Right.
And the MC brings up a new comic, like myself.
Yes.
And you go up and just... get the shit kicked out of you for 5 to 10 minutes.
Unless...
Can't tell whether any of your jokes work, right?
Well,
problem?
You get... I will recommend it to every new comedian.
Yeah?
Because you get tough quick. And you learn what works. You learn how to read a crowd.
I disagree with that. I don't think that... I don't think that... I mean... look, if it will filter out who's a comic or not, but I think good crowds actually help you write, become a good comic. Shit crowds help you
becoming a shit comic. Help you develop
things that could hurt you in the longer run. You know, the things like, hey, fuck you, all that crowd work shit.
I would say some of my favorite comedians are part products of having to do really late night spots.
You know who are really good at it? Ben Bailey and Russ Meneve, when they used to have to host the Boston when they weren't working the cellar. Ben Bailey was the guy over there. He went from an okay comic that got some laughs to fucking really funny by just being the guy over there at that fucking shit club. And Russ Meneve did the same thing. Russ Meneve became very, very funny by doing that.
Well, but I was kind of the guy. Eventually, I just became the kind of the fill-in guy at Stand Up New York, where I would just sit at the bar and wait for someone to show up, and if everyone was there, they'd put me up for checks. But then the MCs, I became cool enough with whoever was MCing that they would do the first 2 minutes.
Right.
So then some people would be paying attention, and I could go up and focus on those people, get them laughing, and learn. It kind of did teach me how to read a crowd to see who was paying attention to me.
Yeah, I mean, dude, look at doing good, actually. I mean, in front of a good crowd actually makes you become a better comic, too.
Yeah.
Because you can see where your joke does work. Yeah. And it's legitimate. Like, this is a funny joke. This one isn't.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But those first 2 months were rough.
Right. But you
got to meet Joe Lewis.
Was it rough being a comic or being an assistant?
We made some good friends.
what was rougher? Being a comic's assistant or being a comic's assistant or being a comic? Being your boss. Now, when you had to talk to your boss.
Please don't say that.
Well, you said it. You're the one who actually said it.
I don't want to call their boss. I mean, it might have been like a term of endearment. You were being sweet, and I understood that you didn't really think of her as a boss.
Yeah, I think I might have.
So you were a charming kid. You were nice. You were probably.
He's corporate Dan. He's fucking corporate Dan.
I'm not gonna lie.
You're corporate Dan.
Yeah, but it was.
Oh wow.
Well, that's what we call me. I am corporate Dan.
Yeah.
I'm very corporate. All yes sir, no sirs.
Makes sense.
It was. You know what? Not to lie though, it was. It was a lot to take in. Considering that, you know, I had seen you on TV a bunch. And that's a weird thing for a comic, that if you don't know any comedians and you're young and you moved to New York and you're just trying to do stand-up, you're around guys that you were watching on TV 3 months
ago. Yeah, that
is
pretty cool.
And you're just like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You know, like, what? Like, I was in a cab with you, and I'm like, what the fuck? I'm in a cab with... You know what I mean? It was like a weird thing.
As you should be.
Did you ever get starstruck when you first moved to New York?
Fuck yeah, dude. I got starstruck in Boston. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't even know his name. He was a black comic. He had a fucking a little thing that you ding ding. What are those little mouth picks?
Yeah.
I don't know what those are called.
I don't know what they're called.
It's not a harmonica, but bing bing bing. You flick it.
I don't know.
Some fucking bluesgrass shit, right? He did this joke. I remember I had to drive him, and he made me drive him in my shitty Datsun to the gig in
280Z.
No, even shittier, four-door, really? Just shitbox. I had holes in the floor and everything. And I remember I had a CD of my set at Catch a Rising Star, my first show ever. And I remember I put it in the cassette player for him to listen to. And I kind of hijacked him and, like, giving him a ride and made him listen to my comedy.
Yeah.
And it was...
The least he can do.
But, dude, it was bad.
Yeah.
It was bad. If I had this tape now... And I remember him going, look, man. Look, I don't know what to tell you, man. You just got to find your tempo, bro. And he talked about tempo. He's like, comedy's a tempo. And he kept going.
What was it, Frank?
He kept going,
Jive?
Like, some people like this. Dun, 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 dun. Some people like this.
He starts playing the spoons.
And he started doing,
He's like a music man.
You don't remember this guy's name.
Don't remember his name.
Damn it.
But I was.
But that's interesting. I've been hearing that a lot lately, that everything's about a rhythm in comedy. But that's, if I have it, it's not something that I went out there to...
It's your internal rhythm.
To develop.
It's your internal tempo. It's right. It's what you've developed, what you did over years and years of being comfortable on stage, and the way, they call it your voice, your internal tempo, the way you deliver your jokes, and the rhythmic, is that a word?
Yeah,
well, rhythmic way.
Rhythmic.
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 Rhythmic way. Thank
you.
But
he's saying kind of like, so like...
I love Danny, just corrects you without being an ass.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Sweetheart.
He is a nice guy.
But do you think, Do you think you're taking into account the audience's reaction with the rhythm, or is it all your, or are they reacting to your rhythm, or are you adjusting your rhythm with the audience?
No, you're.
Are you playing the audience?
Well, if
that's
you
a good question.
Listen, I think that you, first of all, you are playing the laughs. Some clap.
Yeah.
Now, you have, when you do your special, when I did my first Comedy Central thing, I didn't never expected the crowd to be that good. So rehearsing it, I was doing great. But the crowds at a club, their laugh was different. So when I got there, they were so good. They were laughing really hard at the setup.
Yeah.
You know, and then the punch hit. I forgot to do some tags because the setup was the laugh for the punch, and then the punch was a big laugh, and then I was like, I'm out, because I don't usually get, I get boom,
yeah,
boom, boom, boom.
So the blowback, it was almost like a blowback.
Yeah, it's like the crowd's tempo was a little different than mine. I didn't know how to control that with my tempo.
Right.
I didn't know how to go take a sip of water and chill the fuck out and know when to drop that next line and let them laugh.
Yeah.
And let them do it. But yeah, I think you definitely have a tempo now. You have the way you deliver jokes, the way something will rattle
yeah,
out of you.
Yeah, I watched you at the Cellar the other night, and you have a tempo. You definitely have a tempo.
We all do. We all right. do. Yeah, he has one, but you can develop it. But now, can you take your shit and throw it in front of any crowd, anywhere, anytime? And for any amount of time, for an hour or two, you can. I can. Dan, I don't know.
No.
You know, probably right now can't. But we'll. You know, that's when you learn to be a pro. When you go up there, I think, and you make them adapt to what you're saying. No matter who was on before you,
yeah.
Who's in the crowd, if they know
yeah,
you or
that's
not.
That's the thing with following people. And I heard this from Tony V from Boston.
Oh, it was a fucking great comic.
Such a great comic.
God damn it.
Don't try to match the person before you's
no.
energy.
No.
Bring them back down to yours.
Yeah.
And then start over. That's some of the best advice.
I watch I'll watch a tell at the Cellar, and yeah. no matter who's in front of him, he'll come on and he'll just tone it down and then get him right into.
Yeah.
And his tempo is obviously like the. Like, it's like that fucking noticeable. Yeah, fuck. Yeah, to watch him.
Yeah, he's got a beautiful rhythm.
He does.
Yeah, I mean. I notice my rhythm. And I'm sorry for the sound, guys, who are listening to this. It might be a little off, not as perfect as we usually have it, because I'm using the Zoom. We're kind of old school in it, back with the Zoom in a room. But you know, this microphone's real hot. These two are trying to bring them up. But
okay.
Anyways, yeah, I'm noticing now, especially listening to my sets, my tempo, and it's sometimes it's off. Sometimes it's I'm like, oh my god, who the fuck is that right now? My tempo's off, and you can feel it.
Yeah.
When you're doing six shows,
yeah.
One of those shows is going to be, I just fell off the bike. I fell off. Like, something happened.
Yeah. The only thing I think that is it seems off when there's a smaller crowd because you can't hear how you're playing.
Nope.
Really?
I've had the best shows of my life in front of 30 people, and the next night sold out two shows. And something, it just didn't feel right.
Wow.
Well, it wasn't the same because I stepped on the gas too much.
Okay.
Because I didn't breathe. I didn't,
yeah.
Hey, I'm doing it this at this pace no matter what you do.
Yeah.
No matter what, I know you're going to laugh. I know what to do. I got you.
Yeah.
So I'm doing it my way.
Like, most guys talk slower. Or move slower as they get more experience and confidence.
I used to
ramble through this shit so yeah. fast.
Do you remember me? I used to fucking run around.
Yeah.
I used to run around. I used to come off stage at the Cellar sweating.
Yeah.
With, you know, just I'd put the mic down. I'd be, and come, and that wasn't because I was fat. It was because I just went, fucking suck it. Well, good night. Walk in 15 minutes and just level the place.
I was always impressed with another guy in Boston, Frank Santarelli.
Oh my god!
Who would stick the mic in the stand, keep it there, stand almost as far back as you could on the stage, and own every centimeter of the room.
Yeah. That's weird because I remember when I first moved to New York, you said something along the lines of like you wish you could learn how to do that. Just put the mic in the stand, and you said. You equated it to being in a pool and holding the sides of the edges of the pool.
Yeah.
And you said if you can let go of that mic stand and not touch the mic stand or the mic, that's like you just swimming in the deep end. Like, if you can just leave it in there, and like
I mean,
that's real though, right?
Leaving the mic in the mic stand for me, I can do it now. I don't, but I can also take it out and stand still.
Yeah.
I can stand in the middle of the stage. And sometimes, but here's the thing: is sometimes I forget that part of me is performance.
Yeah, I'm
a performer.
Right.
I forget now because I can get laughs on just delivering my jokes.
Yeah.
I forget that. Hey, man. Get into it a little bit.
Yeah,
I get into it. I need to kind of move around a little bit. And I think it's, to be honest, not to be a fucking, it's my weight. You know what I mean? Yeah, like I've been listening to my sets because I'm trying to get this hour together.
How long have you been listening to sets? Because that wasn't something you always did at the beginning of comedy, right?
I've always done it, but not for real.
Yeah.
Now I'm going through my sets.
And do you transcribe the shit?
Do you write it down? What I do is I go through the set. I did 6 sets last week. I'm going through them. It's awful. I'll take out the best, like this joke worked. Take it out and I'll literally take the audio track out, cut it out, put it down somewhere else.
Yeah.
And then transcribe that joke.
Nice.
Word for word.
What do you use, GarageBand?
GarageBand, yeah.
Nice.
And then transcribe that joke. And then like I'm doing Reno in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. I'm doing Tuesday to Sunday just to do the time.
Great.
So hopefully next week I'll be able to have
what club will that be at so we can plug that?
That's going to be at the Silver fucking something casino.
Silver fucking something casino.
Silver fucking something casino. Open in 1981.
It's at Catch a Rising Star in Reno. Catch
Silver
a Rising
fucking
Star.
Something casino.
I've never been to Reno. I'm fucking scared. I'm really scared.
It's the tiniest, biggest city in the world.
I'm scared, but I'm so interested because I love ghosts and I love the Old West. And I want to shoot a 6-shooter. I want to shoot a Colt.
Should have gone to Tucson.
Tucson, Arizona?
Yeah, you go down to Tombstone, Arizona.
Yeah, but boogity, boogity.
It's fucking fun.
Why, is that where you're from?
Well, you know,
that's where I went to college there.
Really?
That's where I started comedy, was in Tucson. At Laughs Casino.
What is that?
No, Laughs Cafe.
Yeah, but you did radio.
Yeah, but I was doing stand-up, too. I did radio first.
Well, you wanted to be a radio guy first.
No, I wanted to do stand-up, but I thought radio would help me get over the fear of listening to my own voice.
Really?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you love to listen to your voice?
Because I hated it. I still hate watching myself. I hate all of that. I was working at Outback Steakhouse. I worked 2 shifts. I needed a job. I had no money. And I kept applying at this radio station. I was like, let me work. I gave him my tape from my college radio station. And I was just bothering him. They interviewed me. Didn't hear back from him for like 3 months. I get hired at Outback. And I'm like, can I be a waiter? And they're like, nah. You're going to be a busboy. And I was 19, and I had a 14-year-old training me. And he's like, so when you take this table...
He was the fry kid on The Simpsons?
Yeah, it was. It really was.
Mr. Simpson.
I just think... And then I was like, dude, I've been busting tables for years. I know what to do.
Pimply-faced teenager.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it was. And he's like, well, you kind of have to do these things. And I did 2 shifts. The radio station calls me up, and they're like, do you want to do midnight to 6 a.m. on the weekends? And I'm like... Yeah, and I fucking...
6 a.m. Is that 6 a.m. in the morning?
6 a.m.
Wow.
Yeah. 12 a.m. to 6 a.m.
What was the worst... What's the worst job you ever had, Gary? Go.
Worst job I ever had?
Worst job. Sears, I'm talking Sears worst
Hardware.
Job.
Sears Hardware?
You worked at Sears Hardware.
Yeah.
Which... Where?
At the North Shore Mall in Peabody, Massachusetts.
Ooh.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a big Sears.
Wow. You don't know that.
I've been to Peabody, Mass.
Huge Sears.
Peabody? No, you haven't. Peabody.
It was the anchor of the North Shore Mall at the time.
Really?
But I became very friendly with the... My mom got me the job because she was the cafeteria lady at Sears.
There's a cafeteria at Sears?
There was. There isn't anymore. Now it's just like a vending machine.
This is Industrial Revolution.
It was an employee cafeteria.
Really?
And so I knew everybody there, but they were always hiring for the hardware department. And it was... I was sort of let go for... throwing the football around in the stock room.
Really?
Yeah.
That's some strict policy they have.
Well, he wanted to talk to me, and I just got nervous, and I just stopped going in.
You got nervous?
To talk to you. I was like, I don't want to tell my mother or something like that, you know?
Really?
Yeah.
What's the worst job you ever had?
Probably working on the docks in Alaska.
What?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what?
I did that for a summer.
You know what? You know what's really aggravating me about you? You've been on my fucking show
for
fucking months now,
yeah.
Okay? And I'm finding out you were an assistant to a woman.
I promise I helped book
the
show.
You were a woman's
assistant.
You know
what aggravates
me? What?
He's been on the show for months now. It's been months since I've been on the show. We've been living in the same city.
Yeah, but you're not around, dude.
All right.
You're on the road.
Okay.
What's he doing? Fucking Chuckle Hut?
Nothing.
On Tuesday?
Chuckle Hut?
I wish.
Now I found out you were
fucking.
You were doing Deadliest Crab.
No, I did salmon, halibut, and cod.
Same shit.
No, it's not.
You were
those
on the
crab guys are out of their fucking heads, and they do that in the winter. And that's if you do that shit, you're on meth.
Okay, so you
do
worked.
You know that's what the crab guys say about the Sam Halliburton.
Yeah,
no,
they
guys?
They call us pussies. And I know because I worked
really?
With a couple of them.
And the lobsters guys say
they do that
say,
shit for fun. Like the fucking crab guys, they're like you're doing fucking salmon. They like look at you like oh fuck. They don't give a shit.
So what did you do? What was your job?
We love I was on the quote unquote the dock crew. So what I did
you
was
you didn't have to do the quotes.
I just did because I
people
feel
people love quote unquote. You don't have to do the quotes and the quote unquote.
I like overkill. I like overkill. I like proving
a
point.
Okay, explain yourself.
Well, he made the quote fingers.
Yes.
And then he also said quote unquote. Like Bobby and I don't know what quote unquote is.
I was
the
on.
Other.
You can just say it too.
The dock crew.
We get
I just
it.
Held my hands down.
Yeah. And actually. That's not even a quote-unquote situation, because that's what it's called. It's not a figure of speech.
You know what?
Let me tell you something. Gary Gulman is the smartest man I know.
Yes.
Fuck Greg Proops. Gary Gulman, smartest
Gary
man in the world.
An intelligent man.
Very smart guy. Good-looking and smart.
Oh,
and those glasses, those are real.
He doesn't. They're not fake like a lot of the stuff at South by Southwest glasses.
Oh, my God.
They're not fake prescriptions. Gary needs those.
I need these for night to drive at
that,
night.
Do you want to talk about that panel? After we're finished,
we will absolutely. Right.
So the worst there was what I had to do was two things.
Yeah.
The worst thing ever that I had to do that nothing will ever be worse than this is they kind of did like a tryout for us to see who was going to make the dock crew.
Okay.
So we showed up the first day. They gave us a pickaxe and two shovels. There was three of us.
Yeah.
They said there's PVC pipe about 4.5 to 6 feet down on the ground. It runs for 60 yards. Dig that up all day. So we just dug that up all day. We did that for about 3 days until it was dug up. They replaced the PVC pipe. Then they had a bunch of halibut come in. They cut off all the heads of halibut as they were filleting them. And it was my job to take these totes, these big plastic totes that fill 1,000 pounds of fish, all halibut heads, and I had to take them and throw them in this grinder that was on the docks to crush the bones and send them out to sea so the seagulls would eat them. So I spent 8 hours just taking all these fish heads and throwing them into
sounds
a grinder.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah.
It was, except all the splashback of the eyes popping in the grinder and shooting into your face and like you had blood all over.
Yeah, you're around death all day.
And you're on a lot around a lot of Filipinos on meth.
That's fun too.
No, it's not. Oh. Some of those guys.
I'm sorry, Mexicans. Fun.
Yeah.
Meth head Mexicans are fun.
Yeah, not Filipinos. And then I just I would
were they
take
like Tuco and Breaking Bad?
Some of those guys, yes.
Really?
Some of those
that's
guys
frightening.
Some
that
of those guys
scares
were
me
fucking
after that
frightening.
Show.
And 16 hours a day, 7 days a week. Notice.
16 hours a day?
Yeah, you wake
7
up.
7 days a week.
7 days a week.
Wait a second.
That's
up,
the hardest
stop.
Job.
Wake up at 8. You have to
stop.
Be on the dock by 7:45. You know,
16 hours a day is illegal.
They don't give a shit.
Where was it?
In Alaska.
Alaska what?
Kenai.
Kenai.
Right in the Cook Inlet.
And Kenai. What was the hourly wage?
$7.50, but then anything over 8. Anything over 8, you got time and a half.
Why
so you
did you go there?
Ton of money. I was in college. It was in between my freshman and sophomore year. I made a lot of money. Made a lot of money.
Yeah, but how did you stay sane?
Pot.
You're dreaming about this shit while you're sleeping, so you're never away from it for 7 days a week.
Nah, and sometimes we'd drink. You get done at midnight, and someone would go buy like an 18-pack of beer, and we'd all have like six, but you'd have to drink it in like 45 minutes. And I was like 18 or 19, so I'd just throw it up because I was just putting so much suds in my body.
Yeah,
and we just smoked a lot of pot. We worked all the time, but you know what? And this is I really attribute it. That's where I learned that I was like, I think I could maybe do stand-up comedy because I was in a room with all these backwoods Alaskan dudes crushing, just making them laugh, making fun of the people we worked with, just riffing, and I was kind of like, maybe. And then
this can't be harder than any crowd that I'd work.
Yeah, it was just like these toothless guys like, oh man, the Filipinos do talk like that. And I'm just like, murder.
I would love to see him be famous in only Alaska.
I don't know. Alaska, gorgeous in the summer.
Alaska is one of my favorite places I've ever been. You ever been to Alaska?
Never been, Bob.
Gorgeous.
Nicest people on the fucking planet.
They are. They're really like
really nice.
They've got like down south, like niceness.
Well, yeah. Well, they but they're in the middle of fucking nowhere.
You know,
and they all get money too. They all get money, right?
Yeah, because you move there, you get $1,700 immediately.
Yeah.
Because of the oil that's in Alaska.
Yeah.
When you become an Alaskan resident, you get money, like immediately.
No.
Let me tell you about my two bosses though, because they are the worst. One of them, there was Lou and Lynn. Lou was just literally the most ruffian. He had a full beard. He always had Copenhagen in his lip, and he would eat with it, with the dip in.
Wow.
You gotta love that.
He went fishing for halibut, which is extremely hard, because they do iron casts. Like, when they cast out, it's like straight up tough shit. He did that for fun, for his vacation. He was our doc boss. He was the biggest idiot I've ever met in my life. But Lynn was from the city we were from, the town we were working in. And on the top of his mouth, he had teeth, right? Like on the left side. But then right in the middle, on the top of his teeth, it just went to gum.
Oh, God.
Okay. Just on the right side. Yeah. But on his bottom side, on the right side, he had teeth on the bottom. And then middle, of the, it went all to gum. So it was a perfect clasp.
Right. Wow.
And I couldn't tell the difference between two types of salmon, between red and chums. And they would always bust my balls. Like, this, they always call you a southerner if you're from the States.
Yeah.
They're like, this southerner, he can't tell the difference between a red and a chum.
Right.
And one day I finally figured it out. This guy taught me, he goes, look, there's a little silver in the tail and your nose, the belly's a little fatter. And I finally found out how to read it. So they're busting my balls one day when they're coming around. They're like, Dan can't even tell the difference between a red and a chum. And I go, actually, I had an epiphany and I learned how. They stop and they look at each other and they go, a what? A period? Well, that's... And they made no... Their joke made no sense. And I was like, these are some of the dumbest motherfuckers I've ever met in my life. I'm going to stay in school. I'm going to get my college degree. Mm. That was the worst job I ever had.
Almost one of the worst stories you ever told, too. Listen.
I thought it was entertaining.
But the voices were entertaining.
That's what I am. I'm a lot
he really, I was. I thought there was a bigger payoff coming. Jesus really? Christ. Right. Yeah.
Can we edit that?
Yeah, you went...
the next time you tell that story,
okay.
The guy, Lynn,
yeah.
had braces on the remaining teeth.
Just on the bottom.
Yeah, just on the bottom. Right.
Yeah, and braces. The guy that taught you how the difference between the halibut fucked you in the ass. Like, that's how he taught you. Whoa. Just to make it more interesting. Yeah, made you just suck
no
his
Vaseline.
Cock. Gary.
Yes.
So today, we announced it. We're at that story took it out of you, too, didn't it? Telling it. Oh, God, that was fucking taxing.
It was. You know what? This is why I don't tell you about my past.
Well, no, I love your past. Just you. We were in and out. We were out. We were going over to another story, and you went, one more thing before we go. I got to tell you about the two people. It's the best thing ever. And I was like, Dan never fucking fucks up on stories. He's got voices and good stories.
I wonder if you could use that GarageBand technique that you used to take your thing, to take that piece of story out of
I really hope he can.
Oh my God.
I'll tell you what, I'll be listening next
but
week.
But then this Lynn and fucking, a little bit more entertaining.
And I thought Lynn was a girl, too, when you said Lynn. You didn't tell me it was a guy.
Lynn.
You know what? Lynn. Everyone messes up sometimes, and I apologize.
Monster Voice, you're absolutely right. You're right. Yeah. Now shut your face.
At what point did you know that story was failing?
Right at the beginning. Yeah. Right when I launched into it.
I could see in his eyebrows.
Couldn't tell.
I felt a deep
muscle. His eyebrows went up and stayed up right
because
at the beginning.
Corporate Dan, I know how to sell shit.
So, yeah, we're at South by Southwest, or SXSW.
Yeah.
Because X means...
Everybody else in the world is much more aware of its presence and prestige than we are. I don't think we get it.
I didn't get it until today. Yeah. And then I realized how big it was. And last night was fun, man. We showed up last night. We went to see an awesome new band that we love.
Little Hurricane.
It's kind of white stripey.
Yeah. Or the Black Keys kind of...
Hot chick on a drum and a dude playing guitar.
And a cool-ass...
Just a two-piece?
Robert Palmer motherfucker playing guitar. But then he played a guitar that was also laying down on a table.
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier.
He did slide?
Yeah, that's what Joe DeRosa is fucking doing shows in the South right now. They have one of those guys up before him. Yeah, Roadhouse guitar.
That was really good. It's
unfucking believable.
It's hard to hear a band you've never heard before and get into their groove right away, and they fucking grabbed us.
Oh, my God.
Are they going to be? I want to see them.
They're actually doing shows. I got a flyer, too. I'll show you the flyer. Ha, Little Hurricane, fucking great. Just everybody, you look at everybody in the crowd and they're just looking at him like fucking gods.
Yeah.
And he was just going off and he was into it. He was fucking great. So we met him after and we took a photo.
Such presence on this guy on stage.
But
it's like he owned this room that was very distracted.
Yeah. Maybe
very
Taco,
distracted. There
they
was
have Taco Bell.
Bell
the new the, Taco Bell?
The Taco Bell, it's a Dorito shell.
What?
It's the shell. Is fucking Dorito.
Which Dorito?
They're
cool
made
ranch?
From Dorito.
They're
no,
doing
but
cool
I'm sure
ranch.
That'll happen.
The cool ranch is coming.
So right now it's nacho cheese.
Nacho cheese shell.
That is ingenuity.
And they're sponsoring the comedy show that we're doing tonight.
Wait, we get Dorito Taco Bell?
Yeah.
I pointed out to the owner, took way longer than it needed to. We've had both these things. We've had Doritos, we've had tacos.
I like that you took them down a notch.
It's the same phenomenon that happened with sweet potato fries.
Yeah.
Sweet potato fries is a new millennium invention. Both of those things have existed
Sweet potato.
I like that you're genuinely bothered by this.
Well, that's irritating. Same with Sunday night football, Dan. Yeah. We've had Sundays. We've had football.
Why do we just get the Sunday night football now?
Tater tots. Sweet potato tater tots.
Wow.
Not good.
Really?
Too sweet.
Oh, I didn't even know they existed.
They do at Sonic Burger.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. At Sonic Burger. Brand new sweet potato tater tots. No good. Tater tot has to be regular. Salty. Too sweet. It's like eating candy. Don't get it. Anyways, Fat Tips by Bob Kelly. So, yeah, we go outside. We take a photo with him. We're kind of a little fanny, you know, whatever. They were cool, though. We talked to him. And it was great hanging outside because we're meeting the fucking one of the dudes at Google, the MySpace president dude walks up, and some guy from Seagate Hard Drives, and you know, the guy, the syndicate guys, and Matt from Laugh Button, Jack Vaughn comes up. I mean, it's a fucking really cool kind of fucking hang out in front of the club last night.
Yeah.
Meeting all these cool people. Yeah. And you know, Chris Ellis was, they were really kind of being real cool to introduce us to these people.
Yeah.
And putting us over. You know, like, this is Robert Kelly, this is Gary Gulman, they're our guys, they're doing the show, blah, blah, blah. We met a lot of cool people last night. And then, so today we went out. Gary had a, what is it? What is it called?
A panel.
He did a panel.
Oh, okay. Four guys usually.
Explain the panel, Gary.
It was like six people, and they were all somehow involved in comedy tours instead of just one guy. A few guys in a related thing. So the guy who produced The Comedians of Comedy was there. Eugene Merman, who was a part of the Comedians of Comedy, and then something called the Stand Uppity Tour with Michael Showalter and Leo Allen. I think that's
theme,
what it's,
so
Andy Kindler.
Themed
out of comedy clubs in, you know, not really in, you know, theaters, yeah, or rock and roll clubs, not comedy club tours. Yeah, themed tours, like a group of comics going out together.
Yeah.
And Gary, there was the girl, I don't know who the girl
was. She was from, her name was Christine Levine. She was from the Unbookables.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's Doug Stanhope's.
Okay. Yeah, it seemed to be like Doug Stanhope Presents.
Yeah.
And he really liked them, so he put them over. But
geniuses.
He felt they were geniuses, which that's a word that gets thrown around a lot.
Too much.
A lot too frequently.
Well, that's a big word.
Yeah.
No, that's a big, I think genius, I think time machine. I think, wow. Yeah. You see that star up there?
Oh, really? He invented a time machine?
See that star up there? Yeah. It's around fucking 50 light years away. This is how long it would take there. This is what's going on over there. We can't live there because it's made of this. How did you know that? I'm a genius. Yeah. That's what I think. Not somebody who's at a fucking club shit face going, you know what? Rape isn't that bad. Okay. And getting a laugh off it.
I just like that. I like your, like, you're almost, well, fucking real.
I mean,
Dudley
look, Moore. Dude,
I was going to make a Dudley Moore reference.
Rape,
I
think, rape was the final frontier in comedy a couple years ago, but now it's like there's a franchise of rape jokes.
There is. It really is. It's popping up all over.
Yeah. Well, here's the deal. I think that certain comics are fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
Or really funny. I would use the word brilliant before I used the word genius.
Yeah.
Brilliant. You know, like Stanhope's fucking brilliant.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
That,
I mean,
new album. His new album is great.
You know, his story is so fucking, I didn't know I knew Stanhope before I knew Stanhope. You know, Dane was in the San Francisco Comedy Festival with him.
Yeah.
And Stanhope won.
Yeah.
And I knew about Stanhope before I knew about Stanhope.
Yeah, but we heard the side of the person who came in second to him.
Right. But, you know, but he was still, I mean, it was still, Stanhope was funny, like this guy, and then he sold his car, and he had, I mean, I don't know how much of it's true, but he's got a story behind him that's actually like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's kind of a cool story, even though it's probably fucking changed over the years. He sold his car, had to move back into his car, and then fucking lived in the woods, and, you know, I don't know. But I respect guys who live, like, you say, fuck it, I'm living in Arizona.
He lives
in
Bisbee. He lives, like, right outside of Tucson.
That's such a... When somebody goes, I'm not doing it your way because you don't. First of all, you're gonna fuck me anyways. There's gonna be a day where I'm gonna be fucked. So I'm just gonna go my own way now.
Yeah.
So go fuck yourself. And that's what I loved about this thing. And that was the question I asked to Eugene. You guys don't work comedy clubs. You guys are working these other clubs, these rock and roll clubs. It's like, fuck. I mean. It's such, we did that Atlanta last year. We did these side clubs. We didn't do any real comedy club chains.
Yeah.
And we fucking filled them up And we had a blast.
Yeah.
We had fun. And I'm so, I want this to happen so badly that, like, how fun do we, how much fun do we have when we do a show together?
Blast.
Yeah, I mean, why can't,
before, after, the drive is awesome, the drive back is awesome.
And it's not a fucking comedy club. It's, there's not these, you know, these fucking kind of hot waitresses who don't give a fuck about your show. They just care about their fucking tips. You know, jamming drinks down people's throats.
Yeah.
Some, you know, 19-year-old door girl who's letting shit-faced people get in front row because that's what, hey, that's what I like. We have fun. They'll be fun. You can fuck with them.
Eugene made this point. He was like, yeah, comedy club is sort of a structure based in 1975 to around the early 90s.
Yeah.
And what did he say? That we should have evolved past that?
I know, we have. We have evolved past that.
Yeah, that doesn't have to be the situation.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be the situation.
You don't have to be dealing with somebody selling boneless chicken. And
well,
and the one guy who ran Comedians of Comedy, he said, I've been spoiled by seeing comedy shows at rock clubs. I can't go back to the comedy clubs now.
Well, I don't look at certain comedy clubs I have fun at.
Me too.
But I think comedy clubs, it would behoove you to get to the point where you don't have to work them. So when you do work them, you can work the ones you want, and you can also work as many shows as you want. That's the one thing that sucks, is that when you do these alternative venues, you can work them one night.
Yeah.
Or
and
two.
And Eugene said you make 2/3 of what you would have made for doing 7 shows a week in this place.
Yeah, and then you work 7 shows at the same club. They're literally stretching you out as far as they can stretch you.
Yeah.
No chance to make any bonus or have a crowd. So now they got to give tickets away just because they got to make the liquor. It's totally not for you. It's to benefit the. It's to pay rent.
Yeah.
And make money and pay for your boat. You know, it's not your condo. It's not. And then they blame you. It's like, wait a minute. Build me a fucking fan base. Let me come in. I'd rather come in on a Wednesday, do one show, give me 75-80% of the door.
That's
I'll promote the fuck out of that Wednesday.
That's what a lot of people do. I know Maria Bamford will only come in on off night, so she only gets her audience.
Yeah. I don't want... I'd rather take 300 people over 7 nights and put them on one show and make the same money, almost.
Yeah.
But it's a risk, because if you don't, you're fucked, and you're not working the club. You're not working either.
Yeah.
Or so the, I think these rock venues are actually, I was really interested in that. I thought that was a really interesting part of that whole thing. But it was sad because they put this thing in a 300-seat room. It should have been in a 50-seater.
Yeah.
Because, and they didn't really promote it well enough.
Yeah, it was not promoted, but I had a lot of fun on that panel.
Hilarious.
And I feel like this could be a new sideline for me, that I'll be the guy who is the, you know, I can do podcasts. I mean, that's clear.
Yeah.
I can do the stand-up.
Jack of all trades.
But then I also have this panelist outlet, and let me tell you, at this point, it doesn't pay well, which is to say, it doesn't pay.
It'd be just be a weird
thing. Haven't found a way to monetize the panel thing, but I think this is going to lead to other panels, and the next thing you know, I'm the guy who, maybe I'm not anchoring the panel, but I'm a solid complimentary member of the panel.
I can see that.
Yeah,
I sat right up front.
Yeah,
and
but here's the thing: there were some people, even though it was practically empty, who were sitting way in the back.
Ugh. Oh god,
like they couldn't
suck.
Get good seats.
Ugh. Yeah, like some of the people were actually important people in the business.
Oh, okay,
that came to see it, and they don't want to sit right up front, as to you know who they are and be like, ah, fucking
right.
You know, make you feel uncomfortable.
Yeah. I pointed him out, like the guy who runs the Montreal Comedy Festival.
Yeah, the guy who runs Montreal. He's like, Hilly. Bruce Hill is a fucking great guy. When I first met him, I was so nervous to meet that. You know, when somebody goes, that's the guy who runs it, you're like,
but he couldn't be any
nicer.
Down to earth.
And his wife.
More down to earth and sweet.
His wife will literally come up to you like, hey, how you doing? It's like, why are you talking to me?
Yeah
really nice
and
people.
And here's what I think is going on there.
What?
He's Canadian.
Yeah,
they're nicer people than
they
us.
They are nice people. Yeah.
They're so decent.
The crowds are fucking nice too.
Yes,
very rarely have ever fucking blocked a Canadian off of Twitter.
If just one guy,
Canadian Dan, I think his name is.
If this kid's success at Montreal Comedy Festival is any indication,
Canadian
then these people are,
nice.
Are very generous.
They are very.
Yeah.
Not only that, but they're homeless people who are bilingual. It's amazing.
Oh, that's true.
In Montreal,
why you threw that little fucking zinger in
just
there?
Just because you're homeless doesn't mean you're not. Intelligent.
In most cases.
Usually it means you're addicted to something or mentally ill.
Hmm. Or just don't want to fucking deal. or like the outdoors. Right?
I like to live it rough.
Yeah, that was actually pretty fun. Then we went to the, we were talking about the floor. We went to, what was that called? The showroom floor.
Oh, the showroom floor. The, we got some free stuff. We, Bob Kelly is.
Oh God.
Here's what I feel. I feel that Bob Kelly, if we needed to get a ride and there was nothing else available, could convince somebody to lend us his car for the rest of the day.
I'm telling you, man.
Yeah.
I was walking around with a semi because it was all new tech, and not even just the crazy like the Mophie or, you know, the bandolier.
Yeah.
That's called Runner. R-U-N-N-U-R.
Runner. Yeah, I'm going to actually.
A great product, man.
I'm going to actually promote
that
shit.
Notice how Gary noticed that it was a bandolier? Because that's
actually
how I described it.
I'm going to actually promote this next week. I'm going to be promoting the run. I'm going to be going over on Tech Talk next week, the Runner, and a couple other things that I saw today. But this week I actually did the, and you got one. You got a Mophie case.
Yeah.
You got the 2000 one, which is a little more battery life than me. And you got, what is it, Rorange?
They called it Rorange. It's reddish orange. And this guy from Mophie. Here's the thing. I didn't want it at first. It extends your battery life, and it's very thin. You wouldn't even know it's on there unless somebody told you it was on there. And it doubles your battery life in your phone. But here's what I was thinking while this was going on. Why do we don't deserve this? We don't deserve this kind of technology. I shouldn't be able to watch movies on the bus and on the plane and all these things. We're not grateful, and we're really bad people.
Speak for yourself.
I don't know.
Fuck up my tech mojo. Listen, man, I need this, or I'm going to kill somebody or fuck somebody.
See
and
what
ruin
I mean?
My marriage.
See what I mean?
All right.
This guy is a murderous rapist.
Lunatic.
He's a lunatic.
Robert Kelly's a lunatic without his technology.
Oh my God. This is
dating him with blue screens.
This is my Craigslist. This is my Craigslist. This is my fucking pizza. The fact that I was walking through there today, I could have came here and just did that. I've never been to a tech expo floor before.
I've never seen that.
This isn't the main draw of this festival.
Small.
It's a sideline. Yeah.
And I.
So imagine what you would be like at the, what do you call it? The ECS?
Tech Fest?
Yeah, the
CES,
right?
CES.
Here's
Consumer
the thing.
Consumer Electronics Show.
Consumer Electronics. If I ever, when, because I want to put fucking positive things out there. When.
Send that out to the universe, Robert.
I'm going
to
send it out and leave it there because the walls of lack and delay now crumble away. I now fulfill my destiny.
Florence Scovel Shin. The Game of Life and How to Play It. We'll have Florence on the show next week.
She's dead.
Oh, God.
Sorry, yeah.
Which is really going to be hard to manifest. she's no longer with us.
Yeah, there it is.
So we did the how's it feel to have competitive voices?
I actually enjoy
she's
it.
Dead. It's nice, right?
It's like a jam session.
But I only have one.
Yeah, but you do yours, and you do your Indian and switch back into
with Woody Allen.
He's going to do the Indian's my favorite. This is the Indian.
Oh, I heard about this. This is legendary. I want to hear it.
This is a
white guy playing an Indian.
White guy, yeah, the white guy in the 1920s movie playing an Indian.
Yes, Chief Subscribe.
For I have came from a land far from my own. I rode the Iron Eagle through the sky to a land where I can tell jokes to other braves and witness tribes unlike my own. For I live off the maize off the land.
Yeah. That's crazy talk. No, I'm serious. No, that's my brother. His name is Crazy
Talk. His name's Crazy Talk. His actual real name's Bo, but we call him Crazy Talk. He works at the Circle K over by the reservation. He's a good dude.
Might I just interject one notion at this juncture? My white Indian, he'd be perfect for this festival.
All right, so we go on the floor today, me and Gull. And Gull, you know, you could give a fuck, really. You don't really. You like it, but you're not as me. You're not walking around.
I'm overwhelmed, and I don't understand.
Yeah,
so it's frightening for me.
I know everything. I walked up to people like they had the waterproof case, which I own two of them already. I've given gifts away, and I know everything about it. I walked up and talked to them.
But I can watch Bobby interact with people for hours.
It's amazing.
He's the most charismatic.
He gets excited.
Enthusiasm. You know what's beautiful about him? The enthusiasm.
Genuine
enthusiasm. The
enthusiasm.
Of a mashugna lunatic.
What would you call me?
But still, you don't put people off.
No,
you're not off putting.
No way.
You're not aggressive and in people's faces.
Nope. No, the fine line to walk.
Yeah.
The tightrope.
Yeah.
But
and
I do
a
it.
Bull in a china shop.
Nah, you're not. You're a sweetie. All right. You're a big, sweet guy.
I just feel if I tried to get stuff for free, people would get aggressive. Frightened. Yeah.
But here's the deal. Scared. They want to give you stuff for free. They want you to promote their product. I'm helping them. The fact that I'm mentioning Mophie, you know, and you have one too. You love it.
I love this
How
Mophie.
Fucking great is it? And it's also a great case.
Beautiful case. It's
yeah, so
orange,
fucking go get
orange.
The goddamn Mophie. And that warehouse, look at, we just told 30,000 people to go get a fucking case.
Yeah.
And 10 of those people are going to do it.
Mophie. Rhymes with Sophie.
Yeah, Sophie or Mophie. And you got the extended one.
Have you heard the sports announcer who referred to choosing between Andrew Luck and Peyton Manning for the Indianapolis Colts? He called it a real Sophie's choice.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for trivializing the Holocaust by comparing two outstanding quarterbacks to choosing between your children.
Sophie's choice.
But Peyton Manning the guy. And Andrew Luck, they are not going to the... you're compared it to Auschwitz? Yeah. What are you out of your head?
Yeah, they did that
I
in that book.
I like it.
Do you remember that book with the Conan O'Brien, Jay Leno thing?
Yeah.
The head of NBC, or one of the heads of NBC, is called that a Sophie's Choice.
You know what's a Sophie's Choice? Sophie's Choice.
Yes, thank
hey,
you.
Wait a minute. Is Sophie's Choice the one with Jack Nicholson?
No.
No.
Which one's that?
That's Chinatown.
No, the one. What's the one with Jack Nicholson where he has to, in the blonde, and it's a mob movie?
It's Pritzy's Honor.
Pritzy's Honor. Oh, sorry. Wow.
Yeah, swing and a miss.
Any sort of name with a...
That's going to be hiding outside.
With a possessive.
Yeah.
Oh, possessive. I'm out.
Schindler's?
Hey. Yeah.
I'm out again.
Pritzy's Honor. That's Pritzy's, so funny. Yeah, Pritzy.
What's Sophie's Choice
you know
about?
Sophie's Choice is Meryl Streep.
Okay.
And she has to choose between letting her daughter go to the gas chamber or her son.
Yeah.
And she makes a choice.
So it's a thriller.
It's originally a book by William Styron, and then they made it into an Oscar nominated or Oscar.
I think it's a winner.
I've never seen it. Never seen it.
I haven't either, because I would think that it was the most upsetting movie.
Yeah
it sounds depressing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's like,
a feel good
it's like
tale
term, terms of endearment. When, here's my candy bar, Mom. You can take it back. Whoa. I fucking cried for six days watching that.
The candy bar?
Yeah, the candy bar scene in terms of endearment.
Just because.
Let the kid have a fucking candy bar.
Just because of the candy bar, though.
What do you mean? Was it just fat joke. Bing, bing.
So we've put together a list of players that we'll be protecting from the expansion draft, so other teams can't take them. It's a real Schindler's List.
What? Yeah. As the old Jewish writer says it. Well, I don't know if you saw this, but this year's draft class, Schindler's List. These guys are all going to do very well. They're good. They're not mensches. They're good.
We'll be back with Trivializing the Holocaust.
Hey, welcome back to The Herd. Today on the Sports Talk Radio, we're going to be trivializing one of the worst atrocities to humans ever. We're talking about Peyton Manning.
We're going to be redoing this kitchen with what they call Holocaust bricks.
Yeah.
Now, these bricks can take up to fucking
Bob Vila
700 degree heat.
Let's fix this kitchen up. Auschwitz style. What was it? We're going to train in everything.
Oh, shit.
Oh, my gosh.
Jesus Christ.
People don't even think when they use these cliches.
Oh, God. That's like, who's the NFL player that said that they were slaves? Do you remember that? He was a black guy. But he goes, yeah, man, we're basically just like, Adrian Peterson.
Oh, God.
During the lockout.
Oh, God. Or Prince, slaves. When he wrote slave on his... face.
Yeah, slaves that own a Porsche. That's good. All right, well, listen, guys. It's 8 o'clock. We got to wrap this up because we have a show to do tonight.
And I got to go check into my apartment.
You got to go check in. I want to thank, first, number one, Syndicate Chris Ellis, everybody over there. I want to thank Matt at Laugh Button, everybody over at Laugh Button and the Syndicate. You guys have been fucking great. Even the girl that was hanging our posters today that didn't even know it was me and Gary, we were like, who's going to be there? She was like, well, Doug Benson's going to be there. He's funny. We were like, well, what about Gary? I don't know. And then she goes, I go, what about Robert Kelly? She goes, oh, he's really funny. But you know she's lying.
Yeah.
She just figured out.
Sale?
Oh, it was fake. It was awful. Us. But I want to thank those guys. South by Southwest has been a blast. Also, Gotham Comedy Club.
Gotham Comedy Club, Leanne Weingarten, Chris Mazzilli, Stephen Mazzilli.
They really hooked us up, too.
Yeah.
They put this together. They put a lot of stuff. They made sure we were in a good hotel. And,
yes.
To Gary, you know, they really made sure that we were taking care of everybody. All those people took care of us.
Jack Vaughn.
Jack V. Vaughn.
Supportive of and yeah, supportive. Encouraging.
Yeah. And this has been this. We got the show tonight, so we might have to do another podcast if this goes fucking shit. It starts at 11:30. Yeah. We're doing a podcast before the show, so it's like this could fucking go shit.
And I will be hosting.
Yeah, not gonna go shit for you because you're corporate Dan. Hey guys.
Hi. He's in the
spot right now where nothing can go bad.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? He's not at the point where everybody knows him. He's still a new guy. So once everybody knows his 20 minutes and then he goes up and does it and it fucking takes a hot one, I want to be there. I want to be there. Really?
Yeah.
All right, let's save that for next Monday.
All
right. Oh, shit. Dan Soda, we're doing this. You're hosting the show tonight. Hosting. Gary Gulman and me are actually fucking co-headlining with Doug Benson. Amy Schumer couldn't be here. She's actually going to be in the podcast soon, though. I can't wait for her to come on the show. You guys, thanks a lot again. Mofi, you guys are the shit. Thanks for hooking me and Gary up. Maybe Dan will hook himself up tomorrow. Probably not. But listen, they might come to the show tonight, so they might see you. And that's about it, man. You know what, dude? Podcast, we're out. Thanks for listening. Spread the word. Dan at DanSoda.com on Twitter.
At Gary Gulman.
On Twitter.
GaryGulman.com.
And you got a new album coming out.
Yeah, it's called No Can Defend.
Yeah.
In Comedy Central Records.
Comedy Central Records. Make sure when that comes, can you pre-order it now?
No.
No, not yet. Okay. Well, you could have lied. It never hurts to get a Google buzz going. But when that comes out, make sure you check that out. We'll have Gary, when the album comes out, you come back on the podcast. And you know me, at Robert Kelly. And make sure you check out at YKWD podcast on Twitter, at YKWD.
Robert, thanks for including us on this. This was a lot of
this
fun.
Podcast. Yeah, no, I had a blast, guys. This was a good one. From the hotel room at the fucking South by Southwest, this is You Know What Dude podcast. We are over and out.
Get your ass down. It's time for Tech Talk. Tech Talk. You know what, dude? Tech Talk. You know what, dude?
Tech Talk
with Bobby and Joey.
It's my rag. This is my podcast rag.
Boom, boom.
This
boom.
Is what would happen if the podcast blew up and I got like I got all weird. I started getting like
what?
Like I would just have like my podcast rag that would have to be like moist and warm.
And yeah, but you know how the fucking podcast works, Dan. How's the podcast? I introduced the fucking podcast. You just yapping over the beginning.
Oh, I didn't even know you were
doing the podcast.
Nah, I kind of did.
Yeah, you did.
No, I didn't. I didn't.
I'm gonna tell you right now. First of all,
I didn't know.
First of all, you knew. Second of all, we're in Austin. We're at South by X West.
SXSW.
We're at South by Southwest Festival. I've never seen you this whipped up in my life. I've never seen you.
I'm excited.
Dude, you're more excited than I've ever seen you. And it's almost, it's making me happy.
Like, it is? Because yeah, I'll tell you this, I'm not going to lie. The way that you're positioned in your hotel room right now with the fucking, the heavy blinds almost all the way closed.
Yes.
But then the lighter blinds in front of it. But you're fucking back to the window.
Yeah.
It's menacing as shit.
Is it really?
It really looks like we're in a hotel. We are in a hotel off the highway. And it looks like I'm about
to be killed. Listen, are you on fucking drugs right now?
No.
Then why are you fucking so happy and just yapping? First of all, I didn't even introduce the podcast. You know, we've done this 90 times. I go, hey, what's up? And I do the uncomfortable fucking intro. And then we go into where it is. And then I introduce you. I'm with Dan. And then you fucking say, you've been fucking yapping since the podcast started.
No, I was talking to you because you said we're going to do Tech Talk up top.
Don't fucking reveal secrets.
Oh, enough with the Wizard of Oz shit.
You don't tell people what we're setting things up.
I'm
now
keeping
they,
it real.
Yeah,
I keep
now,
it real.
Yeah, but now they know. No, no, keep it real. Don't. There's no real.
I'm keeping it real.
No, you keep it. No, you shut your face. All right, we're here. This is the You Know What Dude podcast with, you know now, fucking Dan Soda. Dan, a.k.a. Monster Voice, a.k.a. fucking Corporate Dan, a.k.a. I Love Festivals.
They're
fucking
fun.
Soda.
They're fun.
Oh, my God. I've never seen you this fucking crazy.
I'm sorry that I still have childlike happiness.
I mean, it actually makes me feel good. I love seen. I'm actually been having a great time too. I like festivals also.
Yeah.
But you're fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was waiting tables, man.
Yeah.
And now I'm fucking having festival fun, dude.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up. You know what? You know why I'm scared?
What?
You know why it makes me sad? Because I know it's going to go away. Because I've been there, too. I know it's all going to go away. And someday I'm going to meet fucking been in the business 12 years, Dan, and I'm not going to like that guy.
The dead-eyed Dan?
Yeah, dead-eyed Dan. I'm not going to like
that guy. Yeah, Bobby, I don't know. I'm doing some fucking festival. I don't.
Yeah, you're going to be calling me from the road, be like, dude, I'm at fucking...
Do you have a therapist in Toledo?
I just don't want to see that guy. I know it's coming. I know it's coming for you. I hope it doesn't, but I know it's coming.
I hope
coming.
It doesn't either.
I hope it doesn't.
I hope I keep this pie-eyed excitement.
Well, we're here at the festival. We're in my hotel room. We made a makeshift studio with the...
This is one hell of a makeshift studio.
It's fucking cool, right?
Yeah.
B&H, baby.
Dude.
I fucking, this is all out of my mind, Dan. Dude, I got the fucking,
dude,
this is all out of my mind. You get a couple super clamps, you get some flex fucking grips.
Why are you trying to talk like my landlord, Anthony DeLuvio?
What's his name? I love, let me tell you something, though. There's nothing funnier to me than specific.
Yeah.
DeLuvio.
Anthony DeLuvio. Hey, Dan, how you doing? Those tiles fly off your shower? It's going to take about 18 months, but, you know, I don't make you sign a lease because you have no credit.
Well, here's the deal. Let's do a little tech talk here. We're gonna stop right now. Do a little tech talk. It's me and Dan, and for the end of the show. That's what we were doing at the beginning. That's why you were fucking yapping. I was trying to set it up because it's a little weird to set up when blah, 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 and then blah. I need to do the three claps.
Gotcha.
Of fucking
edit.
Anyways, we're here. We're doing
Tech Talk
with Bobby and
Dan.
It's just not the same.
It's not.
Yeah, one fucking soon as Kentucky Derby fucking joke.
It's old Southern Gentleman Joe.
As soon as fucking I ate gator meat, fried gator meat.
Oh, I was down there on the bayou looking at gator right in the eye.
Hope he's doing comedy in front of a fucking chicken wire fence.
Ladies and gentlemen, excuse my gator wrestling for some entertainment of the verbal type.
The blind guy playing one of those fucking flat guitars.
He's in Roadhouse.
Well, so anyways, I'm down here, dude. This South by Southwest, I got fucking hooked up tech-wise.
Yeah.
I'm loose. They have one of the convention floors with the, what do they call them?
Booths?
Yeah, booths. But what do they call? What is that called when they have it?
I don't know. Like the Javits Center?
Well, yeah. You know, they have these conventions or these festivals, and then they have a convention center, and inside the convention room floor, they dice it all up, and they have all kinds of cool shit.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they have, you know, all this fucking crazy shit. They had the Mophie cases were here, the Mophie company. They had this other case called the Runner. It's like a backpack, but it's not a backpack. What did you call it?
Oh, it's called
a bandolier.
A bandolier.
I'll fucking kill you. I hate that.
Guess what, though? If anyone knows what, before you say it's a backpack, but it's not, that's an awful description. If I say bandolier, someone's going to go, I know what a bandolier is because I also enjoyed the Mexican Revolution in the history books.
Well, I got a lot of fucking shit going on. I got a blue microphone is here. The ones that actually donated all these mics to the podcast are down here. We're meeting them later tonight. So Tech Talk is going to be real quick this time because I'm going to spread it over the next 2 weeks. Next week, I'm going to be doing the bandolier. We're going to be talking about that because I don't just get shit for free and not use it and then tell you to go get it. I'm not a fucking asshole, even though I love free shit.
Yeah.
And I should Who just doesn't? Say, just go get it. It's fucking great. It's a bandolier, dude. You put your phone, your zippers, your fucking keys, and your glasses.
I really hope you use that.
I'm using it. I'm going to use it because it's fucking great. But I'm going to do that next week. I'm going to do the Seagate. I talked to the guys at Seagate, the fucking Papalopoulos. Fucking, that's his name, last name, Greek guy. Fucking great guys. They're hooking me up with some crazy thing I'm going to talk about in a couple weeks.
Wasn't that the name of Webster's dad?
Papalopoulos?
Yeah.
I don't know. But I'm going to be talking about a lot of shit. But today, we're going to be dealing with the thing that I can deal with, that I know about, that I've already used, that I've wanted for a while, is the Mophie battery pack case for iPhone 4 or 4S. It's Mophie Juice Pack Air. This is the light one. They have the heavy one that has, I believe it's 2,000 something. Oh, I forget what the fuck they call them. Yeah, this is up to 6 hours of 3G use. You can get up with it. It's pretty much double the battery life of any phone. Double the battery life of any phone. And it's just a case. And everybody knows what these are. It's a case. But the things that suck about these is when they first started making these cases, they were round and bulky and kind of feminine and Japanese goofy. You know how Japanese...
I kind of like that shit, though. I like that.
Really?
Like, feminine? I like that sleek Japanese, like... yeah, it's like really? That weird. Yeah, I love that shit.
I got an extra one in my house, the old Mophie.
Yeah.
I'll give it to you. You can have it.
All right. When I finally buy my iPhone...
Yeah. Well, oh, you don't have an iPhone.
Ooh,
what do you have?
I have an iPhone. I have a.
Why don't you explain? Here, read the Mophie.
As a Japanese samurai.
Yeah, as a.
The Mophie Juicy Pack Era, rechargeable external battery, made for iPhone 4. Juicy Pack Air offer you convenience and very protective from fitting case with extended built-in rechargeable battery for iPhone 4. All ultra thin, lightweight, low profile design. That's actually fucking awesome.
It's pretty badass, man. It's Dude. A Mophie. I got this one. It's black and silver. You're mad that you don't have one.
Mad I don't have
you're
an
mad
iPhone.
You don't have an iPhone, and you're mad you can't get one of these because you don't have an iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Well, you know what, Corporate Dan? Time to be a little more corporate and get some more money and buy that fucking phone.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
I have an extra iPhone.
Do you?
An iPhone 4. It's not a 4S.
Well.
So I would give it to you, but you don't want it.
Well.
Because you want the... you don't want the 4S.
Dude, I'll fucking take an iPhone 1.
No, you won't. Really? With a tin back and aluminum?
That's pretty cool, though.
Listen, the original, I love the aluminum back ones. I wish they'd
go back.
Anyways, let me get into this fucking shit. This thing is unbelievable. If you have an iPhone, you don't have to leave. I don't even leave my phone in it. I still have my wallet case that I use all the time when I'm going out, but I keep it in my backpack or my bandolier. You can keep this in your backpack so when your phone dies... you just throw it in and it charges your phone. You have a whole nother phone life.
That's fucking
great.
That's amazing.
Or you can just leave it in. It's a great case. It actually protects the phone brilliantly and it's not flush on the front. Right. What happens with a lot of these cases, these battery cases, because I have a few of them. I've bought a couple of them and I tried to get the thin ones. Mophie finally made a thin one was my point. They used to make these really fat and juicy. They're finally making these really thin.
Because I remember your white one that you have.
Right, it's fat.
It's huge.
Yeah, it's big and fat.
It's a thick cut.
Cumbersome. So this one they actually made, it's called the Light, I believe. Is that what it says on there? And it's thin.
It says, Murphy Jessica Air.
Air, that's it. That's the word.
The air.
Air. And it's thin, but it protects the front. It's not flush to the screen. So when you drop it on the front, it's got some rubber that will actually hit the ground first without actually hitting the front of the screen.
I'm like a white trash kid. I just want to play with the box and
really?
Pretend that it's in here. Like, oh, look, I got no, I'm just looking at it. Like,
so, anyways, get Mophie. The Mophie Juice Pack Air. These guys hooked me up. Me and Gary Gelman up with a free one. Gary actually got the 2000. It's a little tiny fatter. Comes in more colors and lasts 30% longer, 30% more than this one.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't need it. I need one. You know, if you look at
you're a simple man, Bobby.
Well, here's the deal. If
you're
you run
very
out of
simple
if you
man.
Run out of juice twice, a whole lot, then you're shipwrecked. You're stranded.
Homeless.
Yeah, you're fucking. You should be near a plug.
Yeah.
At some point, go home, fuckface. You're staying out too long.
Your kids are worried.
Yeah, you're a vampire. Get the fuck home. Stop trying to get fucking blown in an alley. So get this, Mophie
Air.
Air.
Mophie go, Juice. Pack Air.
Mophie Juice Pack Air is the thin one. They're unbelievable. And, you know, I've gone through them all. I've actually bought a few of them. Mm-hmm. There's a couple other brands out there, but the thing is, they're not made as well as Mophie. This thing is a solid product. It's well made, and it's a great case on top of actually being an external battery for this. They finally figured it out over at Mophie. And it's great. So that's Tech Talk. That's what I have.
For Tech Talk today, I flew on an airplane. So
you don't have Tech Talk.
That's going to be my Tech Talk is aviation.
You're You can't do tech talk.
Yeah,
you can't do.
I could talk about airplanes. I go with the simplest of technology.
No, you can't.
Yeah, I can't.
You can't.
What I flew on two airplanes.
Yeah, wait a minute.
Because I had a layover.
What the fuck? You're acting like this is your first time flying, dude.
I know. That's why it's funny.
You can't.
It was because I want to talk about simple technologies.
What are you going to talk about?
Next week, electricity.
Okay, go ahead. There you go. Stop holding the mic like it's a big black cock, would you?
I love it. I flew Delta.
Yes, Delta.
Lovely airline.
Yeah.
I got peanuts.
So, what do you mean peanuts?
You don't ever get peanuts anymore on a plane.
You don't get peanuts anymore because of the peanut fucking scare of the peanut.
Everyone on my the peanut fucking scare. Plane was a soldier. Yeah.
Dude, the peanut scare of 1998.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah. When every kid.
No, I don't give it. I'm making this up.
Every kid's allergic to peanuts now.
No, they're not. You know what was weird? They actually talked about this on Stern today. It might have been another. It might have been a repeat. But remember that thing when I was talking about I hate girls? I go, oh my God. Mm-hmm. That's actually called something.
Yeah, someone on Twitter mentioned it to us because I call it twat twang. But someone else,
it's not real.
Yeah.
It's not real. These women
some
actually
singing.
I know some guys who do it too. It's anybody goes well.
Literally,
people who pause. It was the second literally that got me. The first one aggravated me. Yeah, the second one, you
first
got
one didn't
me.
Land. I threw it to put it out there. Then the second one.
Well, I know guys. So I know people who do it. Now, if you hear somebody go, well, that's somebody trying to. He said it. They're trying to sound intelligent. Like it's more intelligent to do that. I forget the fuck they called it.
I
on
do that when
today.
I'm stoned on the phone.
What's that?
I go.
Oh, that's not what I'm talking about. You're fucking drug addict. You're stoned a lot too. Did you bring weed with you?
No.
You don't fly with weed.
Fuck no.
So you're not a fucking total dope.
No, head. And you know what? I smoke pot in a very like at home pajamas, Xbox controller.
You have pajamas.
I have pajama pants.
You wear pajamas.
Pants.
Ugh, you say, yeah, you know, you look like fucking a Dick Van Dyke. You could be Dick Van Dyke.
Thank you.
If they redid the Dick Van Dyke show.
I love that show.
It was a great show. It wasn't, I don't love it like fucking All the Family.
Well,
you didn't grow up with it. It was in black and white, you fuckhead.
Nick at Night, motherfucker.
Yeah, but you didn't grow up with it. It's not your show.
It's my show.
Your show wasn't your show.
I jerked off to Mary Tyler Moore when I was 12 years old.
Dude, that's not your show either.
Now, what she looks like now.
Listen, none of those shows were your shows.
How do you know?
Your show was Friends.
It was.
Yeah, that was your fucking show.
Weird. Isn't that gross?
Yeah. That's
Seinfeld.
Seinfeld. I'll give you that. Yeah, Seinfeld
Simpsons.
Was yours. Simpson was yours, yeah. Yeah, but you didn't have
South
fucking
Park.
South Park. Okay. May now. South Park was before you.
No, it wasn't.
All right. I just threw it out there, see if I catch you.
No, you didn't.
All right. So you have nothing for tech talk.
Airplanes.
What are you going to say about them? They're great. That's it? Why are they great?
You can go large distances in short time. That's great.
This tech talk is brought to you by the fucking year 2042. What? Shit.
You meant 19. And you meant 8, or you meant like 19.
I never edit on the show either. I'm going to have to leave that in.
Yeah, you are.
And that, you know what they're going to hear on the show?
Take the hit, dude.
They're going to. I don't like your fucking tones. You're slowly slipping stuff out. You're slowly slipping.
I'm evil. I'm just excited to be here.
I know you are. All right, so that's Tech Talk, man. Thank you for doing
Tech Talk
with Bobby and
Dan.
God, I know. Let's try it again.
Tech talk
with Bobby and
Dan.
God,
I like it.
You know.